Some 30 years ago, I served on a committee for an ordination service for the Lutheran Book of Worship. It was exhilarating contemplating how one's words would soon find their way onto the lips of others for years to come. It was like grabbing a piece of immortality. Since the first order of business was the assignment of essays on ministry and ordination, it was evident that nobody knew anything more about the topic than anyone else. The chairperson, who was a pleasant blend of Lutheran pietism and Barthianism, was intent on making sure that nothing in the service gave the impression that anything was happening, and if something had happened, it would be difficult to say when that was. So the first part of the service prepared for the ordination, and the last part thanked God that it took place. But it was hard to say what that was, though Paul in several places said that ordination, or entering the ministry, had something to do with the laying on of the hands. In the words of Mark, the time was fulfilled. But when was that? On the first Sunday in Advent in the year 1988, the canon treasurer of St. Paul's, London, preached on the three comings of Jesus. First at Christmas in fulfillment of the Old Testament, his continually coming in the Holy Communion, and finally his coming as judge. Asking Christ to come is a very Lutheran thing to do. Come, Lord Jesus, is simply another way of saying, Lord, have mercy, or deliver us from evil. It is the confession that Jesus is the Christ. Asking Christ to come is pure gospel. And this gospel drips out of at least two of our Advent collects. Stir up, we beseech thee, thy power, O Lord, and come. And by the coming of Jesus, the threats of the law are absorbed into the gospel's promises, and earth's miseries are devoured by heaven's glory. However, a promise is not the real thing. Promissory notes have no value in themselves. If you converted your euros last year, you lost 25 cents on the dollar. So the time comes when stir up, O Lord, and come has to be converted into the conviction that Christ has already come. Faith is not a matter of waiting for someone to come, but recognizing that the one who promised to come is already here. In the words of Jesus, the time is fulfilled. Jesus is the living fulfillment of everything God said he was going to do. Emmanuel does not mean that God will come, but it means that the coming one is already here and says, Lo, I am with you always. The time is fulfilled. Prophets and kings had promises. We have God in the flesh. What was once a hope is now a reality. What was once in the future is now present. Incarnation is another way of saying that God is with us. And the Holy Communion is the extension of that incarnation into our lives, so that its celebration is a kind of weekly Christmas. He who took ordinary flesh from us gives it back to us as divine flesh. The time is fulfilled. This sacrament is not a bit of nostalgia to remember that once upon a time Jesus was here and then left. But he is forever the God who is with us. In the Holy Communion, the one who was coming has come, is already here, and will never leave. In receiving him in the sacrament, we confess that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and the time is fulfilled. The Eucharist is for us the evidence of his incarnation, the basis of our salvation, and his coming in judgment. Advent is a season of temporary and secondary significance. It has no value in itself. To paraphrase the Baptist, Advent must decrease, and so Christmas must increase. The words, "the time is fulfilled," trumps the words, "he is coming." The words of Jesus, "Lo, I am with you always," are that cloud of words which cover Moses and Elijah so that we only see and hear Jesus. The light of his manger comes to brighten darkened souls. A penitential spirit is only temporary. Careless frivolity is the order of the day. That's what Paul says in the Advent epistles, "Be careful for nothing." Abandonment must make a way into our churches before December 24th, so that our people may find Christmas in our churches, and not only in the music-baptized merchandise, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Wesley's hymn, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel," belongs here in this church. This is what Advent, Christmas, and Holy Communion are all about. It would be a shame for January and Epiphany to come and then having to ask ourselves if Christmas happened. And if it happened, was it so brief that we missed it? Something like that ordination service, in which it was hard to say at what time the candidate became a minister, or if he became a minister at all. Advent may have to be occasionally violated to make a place for Christmas. Scholars say that St. Paul knows nothing or little about Christmas, but he does. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Famed scholars make the same comment about Mark. But he says something about Christmas too. He just abbreviates Paul. An abbreviation is often a welcome homiletical adjustment. The time is fulfilled, and the call to repent is not a mandate for a penitential sorrowful Advent, but a call to believe in the one who has already come.